Hello, hello everybody. Welcome, welcome. All right, the recording is just getting going and rolling for anyone who's joining us live. Thank you for being here, whether you are live or listening to the recording. Thank you for being here. And as we get into today, I want to first start off with welcoming some new Buddhas and Butterflies to our group. Thank you so much for being here. As we head into our new year, we're working with the theme of trauma-freed. And as we head into today, transforming fear into healthy practical action, we're working with the first overarching theme, the first trauma response. And there's going to be five others, but we'll get to those when we get to them. The first one that we're going to work with is the disorientation response. And to be honest with you, I have the other themes mapped out, but I'm not sure which one we're going to work with next. I think it's going to get a little bit more clear after we make our way through the disorientation. There's a reason we're starting with disorientation, helping to clear the cobwebs and get us centered and focused for the remaining work to do. Orienting is usually also the very first thing that people do when they work with a trauma therapist, if they're working with a trauma therapist who is skilled in somatic work, that is. So we're going to do a little bit of that too, and you guys have actually already been doing it, I just haven't called it that as such. The resourcing that we do, for those of you who have been with me before, and we scan and we look outward or inward, that's actually a form of orienting. So I'm not going to talk too much, as some of you might be brand new. You might be thinking this follows the same route as transform emotions into energy. And in that series, I tend to do a little bit more talking up front for our themes. For the overarching two themes, I'll talk briefly at the beginning of the first one, likely a little bit more, and I might introduce little bits here and there as we go. But for the most part, our time here is experiential in nature. And oh, I feel I missed something from my earlier announcement things as well. Just wanting to let you know for all the new folk that are joining, and a good reminder for us who have been here for a while as well, that the recordings are available as long as you're an active subscriber, just like a Netflix account. I sometimes get that question, so just clarifying that for everybody. And back to the topic at hand now, disorientation. So disorientation response. One of the key things I'm going to give you to support yourself as we make our way through this territory is a little trick that we use in addition to resourcing to help people to stay in their bodies and to help them get oriented to their surroundings, their environment. This material that I'm about to present comes from Bodynamics. Bodynamics works with somatic developmental psychology. It works with noticing when a particular muscle group is coming online and it's connecting to the brain, and what stage and age of life the child is at. It tracks from 0 to 13, and the womb stuff is included in its way as well. And we look at what might have been interrupted as that was happening. So, what was the experience that the child was going through? And with body talk, we can get into a little bit more of that than body dynamics can. So it's a really delightful combination for how I think and the way that I love to have the complexities of life into the minutiae of details working together. And as I'm pretty new to body dynamics, so I'm not super into it yet. It's just starting getting going, my training with it all. But I've been receiving therapy work from someone who is quite skilled in it too. So I already feel like I have a little bit of it in my bones, which is what drew me to actually study the work a bit deeper. And I'm also wrapping up my other studies in Hakomi, which is a 2-year program of also working within the realm of the soma and the psyche and working somatically to support unwinding things. So, on that note, without further ado, the thing that I want to give you is the two things actually. It's the capacity to help when you are disassociated to get back into your body. 80% of people disassociate in our world. This is a really common thing. It's probably happening in times when you might not even realize it. Those small little times when you gap out in your day or you are all of a sudden wondering where you just were. We might in body talk say, oh, that's a sign that you were switched. In another lingo, we might say, oh, you're dissociated or maybe even dysregulated. For disassociation that doesn't leave the body, that can happen. I'm one of those people. I don't overly leave my body a whole lot. If I do, something big is going on, or I'm doing it on purpose because I'm choosing to. For the most part, in a moment of conflict, the energy that I go into is hypercontainment. So I get really teeny tiny and I hide in a part of my body over here. As you can tell, my body's already going into it. And then I'm going to show you the difference between the two and what we can do to support ourselves in it all. Okay. So the way that we treat those initially, I'll just give you the overall thing, or one will necessarily treat, but work to help people get back into their bodies is, first off, notice where you might be. So take a moment to pause and be like, oh, and sometimes people know, sometimes you don't, but for the large part, people tend to know, like, oh, I'm over here to the left, I'm behind and to the side, a little bit on my right, or I'm wherever it might be, directly above me or directly below, wherever the energy is. That's outside of you. Notice where it is. And then notice what it is you're getting from being out of there. Usually we disassociate because we're looking for comfort. So disassociation is a natural process that people engage with when something isn't feeling okay to be with inside of themselves. And it feels better to be out here because they can get what they need out there that they can't get in here. So as we figure out what that is, the invitation is to imagine that you can breathe that energy in, the same energy, maybe they're say it's, well, I'll just use the word comfort, breeze, whatever their version of comfort is. We ask them to breathe that comfort in. And then as they do so, imagine that the back of the skull has, much like a car, four tires. And those four tires can evenly move towards the wall behind you. Or the floor underneath you if you're lying down. As you imagine that, also making very small, I shouldn't even see them, I'm gonna exaggerate them, though, teeny tiny bobblehead movements throughout the neck. And that actually signals things to the body and the brain to help you to reorient and to find your position in life again. Helps you to re-engage with things. The difference for people who are hyper-contained or teeny tiny inside themselves is instead of imagining that you're breathing that energy in, figure out what is it you're getting from over here. Same thing, breathe in that comfort. And then as you make the same head motions, moving your head directly to the wall behind you and those bobblehead motions, then also imagine that you can stretch back out to the edges of your psyche again, to the edges of you, to the edges of your body mind again. So I'm going to invite you to experiment with that as much or as little as you feel called to during our times of working together. And know that in addition to that, you've got your other tools to support yourselves as reminders. We've got cordyceps within Body Talk as well as diaphragm to intestines, which looks a little something like that, where we sweep our hand from our diaphragm to our intestines, and then we tap over the three brains, tapping over the top of the head, around the navel, and around the heart. And we may do that once or twice more. Okay. So these are our go-to supports, in addition to the resourcing that I'll cue you with in a moment. Okay. And thank you all again for being here. I'm so delighted that this work continues, and I was reflecting on how richly it's served me in my life. I'm actually gearing up to do a presentation for 40, 50 folks or so, and right after this, it's an investor group. They asked for a guest speaker, and they wanted to bring in Body Talk information. So of course they said absolutely, and I actually haven't given this spiel for a few years. Actually, I had to watch my old videos to remember all the little pieces of things and how I wove them together to remember a couple of those little bridging points. And I was so relieved when I noticed my schedule that I had this group before I was heading off to do that work. Because I richly feel so the benefit of these sessions as well, right along with y'all. So thank you. And on that note, I'm going to invite us to get comfy and cozy. Feel free to, if you haven't already, make your way to that seated or that laying down posture. And do any wiggle woggle, shake shimmies, making any adjustments. As you settle on in, thank you for your awesome in the chat. As you settle on in, beginning here by means of breathing. By means of breathing. Every inhale, an opportunity to call in, to receive, to drink and lay. And every exhale, an opportunity to release, to let go. To make space. And every breath, an opportunity to sink a little deeper into that cushion below you. And if any part of that is pleasant to neutral, taking time to savor it and to receive it as the nourishment that it very well may be. And on this note of resourcing, I invite you to now scan either outwardly, if you're comfortable opening your eyes and scanning outwardly, or staying right inward if your eyes are already closed and you're comfortable with that. And scanning interiorly, inwardly. And as you scan outwardly or inwardly, letting your gaze again land on anything in particular that's pleasant to neutral. That's pleasant to neutral. And as you land on that thing, noticing what it is you like the most about that thing in this moment. Perhaps it's the color, the size, the shape. Maybe it's what it reminds you of. Perhaps it's the way the light and the shadow dance and play together here around it all. And as you notice that, the invitation is to savor it, to drink it in, much like you might appreciate a really wonderful beverage or a fine meal. As you savor it, breathing it in just a little deeper, breathing it into this body mind, through this body mind. And as you breathe it in and through you, noticing what happens in here, what happens inside this body mind. If any part of that is pleasant and neutral, taking a moment to savor it. As you savor this all, continuing to drink it all in, to receiving all this nourishment, as I offer my thanks. Thank you for being here. And thank you to all that's gone into this opportunity to be here together in these ways, whether you're live or listening to the recording. Thank you to your families, your ancestors, your lineages. And thank you to your modern day villages, all those that you claim as family here and now. And the deepest of gratitude, the deepest of compassion, the deepest of thanks. To those that have caretaken and stewarded these lands that have allowed for all of us to exist, including all those that came before that created us, and all those to come. Thank you. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. blessings on your journey. And as we start off today, working within cellular repair, which helps to restore cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing that for the kidney adrenal complex that hangs out in our low back. And this is the area that processes fear, so no surprise that it's here. And then as we work with that cellular repair, it's almost as if the kidney adrenal complex somehow got a little bit, and I'm taking liberties across the board here, with all the hats that I wear, and that somehow I got a little disassociated from the element of water, meaning it lost connection. It's not chatting as well as it should be here. And as we restore that connection through to the water element, I invite you to notice if there might even be, and this is a little left field, especially off the very hop at the beginning of a session, to notice if there's a sound that feels right to make for your low back region where those kidneys, those adrenals hang out. In other words, if there's a sound that the kidneys and the adrenals would like, I invite you to hear yourself and listen to that sound. And you're even welcome, if it's okay to do so in your space right now, to make that sound out loud. And if it's not, then simply imagining it will get the job done. That sound might be ah, boo, ee, om, oh, I, You get the idea. Whatever the sound is, and it might be a couple of them, invitation to give a full breath in and imagine that you can hear that sound or simply make that sound. And the next time you do it, it might be a different sound. Doing two or three rounds of the fancy lingo here is toning. And as you invite that sound in, the vibration begins to allow the kidneys and the adrenals to, I'm going to say, come out of hiding, to make themselves known in a way that allows for that connection to the water element to be restored. And as we do so, then linking everything together here, the water element, the kidney adrenal complex, and linking it through to the nervous system as the nervous system hangs out here as well. Challenging to orient or to work with anything in the realm of trauma with the nervous system that's not connected at all to the water element, to the other element pieces that I've mentioned that are associated here, the adrenals, the kidneys, etc. And as we begin just to set the basic stage of connection, of communication, unhooking a bundle of belief systems. This is around the theme of all the shoulds that you've been carrying, all the shoulds that you learned from your early days in childhood, all of the shoulds that were kept getting reinforced as you grew up, and by our culture, by our society that we continually revolve around as a collection of people in our modern day world. And all those shoulds might not even make sense. People literally will stay stuck in miserable situations because they think that they should. It's the right thing to do. And what if just for now we can lighten the load of the need to should all over ourselves? And inherently within that, cleaning out a layer of shame and the capacity as well around how it is you learn through shame, looking at the pattern of all the times where you were underneath the lens of fear, taught to obey the proper social order through shaming. It's like, oh, I'll instill the fear of God into you is often the phrase that goes in through my head anyways when we're in this territory around this whole process. So both fear and shame intertwine together. And as we look at that pattern and how it worked together to continue to learn all those shoulds, all those things, working with the release of this pattern through a ongoing series of techniques called Sidri, and it's going to continue for the next 4 days, so through until roughly the weekend or so. And as this works, it's going to work through the Oh, a couple areas actually. The area just below the collarbone, there's a pec muscle that runs here all the way through, as well as just above the collarbone, there's the scalene muscles and the SCM, the sternocleidomastoid muscles. And as we work with the different neck musculature and orienting, this makes a lot of sense that we're here. And as we are in this realm, running the Sidri through here, also know that all of these muscles actually relate to the element of earth now. So we can look at as well why this feels like it might not be allowing you to receive the riches that are your birthright of being born onto this planet that we might be keeping ourselves separate from or by or via the mechanism of all that shitting, all that shame, and all the fear of if you don't listen to this, you'll have something to pay for later on. And as we work with this Sidri that's running for the next 4 days, it starts with C, circulation of all the healing resources in through that neck musculature, bringing in blood that carries our passion, nerve our communication, lymph that drains those toxins, gunk, waste, low self-esteem, overthinking, overanalyzing, along with sheer vitality, consciousness or awareness. Right down into all the little guys, the electrons, the protons, the solitons, the neutrons, working with the sounds, the colors, the frequencies of all the chakras, major and minor, endorphins, hormones, and endocannabinoids that lower inflammation, lower anxiety, that also lower depression and help our nervous, our immune system, and really, for that matter, most of our body to heal. Now we're working with circulation of the balance of yin and yang, feminine and masculine. And then also running hydration, helping the cells to take in water and joy and release any impurities that just don't need to be here. Then running D4 defrag, much like a computer defrag or a spring clean, taking out the clutter that doesn't need to be here. What remains can be readily reorganized, utilized for healing. Then all the R's, reevaluation, recontextualization, reprioritization, getting out of rock and hard place type of thinking, opening up to possibilities where it might just have seemed like there was none before. Then integration, introspection, shifting the underlying consciousness, thinking of this as the release, the surrender, the letting go. I'm seeing that portion in particular play out through the upper chest muscles, those upper pec muscles. As I talk about that, there's the part of your pec major that attaches onto the clavicle, pectoralis major, clavicular, and there's a portion of it that attaches onto the sternum. We're more so working, as I was mentioning, with the portion that attaches around that collarbone region here with that. As that's running at the same time as all of that, we're working with the theme of feeling under attack. And there being no place left to hide. Feeling like we're being under attack and there's no resources, there's no place to go, there's nothing to do about it. And it's got associated with it the belief system, but I have to sit here and take this. I just have to sit here and take it. Which takes out the choice, takes out the option, takes out other possibilities, and begins to lock and load that trauma response, which might have actually a few different layers to it that might actually be a little bit confusing to sort through to why it is this seems to be happening in this way. And if we look at all those times, in particular when you were around 4 years old, where you were dealing with the confusion of there's all this energy that I feel under attack with, and yet, for instance, being yelled at. And yet, I just have to sit here and take it. Like, why? This doesn't make sense. And yet, that was part of that socialization, part of that conditioning that you learned around one of the shoulds. And feeling underneath attack without a way out began to set the stage for I don't even know where I should be then. How do I try to escape this? But I can't. And it set this wheel in motion again around looking for a way out, a way to escape. And as we work with this, running another cellular repair, again, restoring cells back to their fullest potential of health. And we're doing this for the thymus gland that hangs out just above the heart and stores all the ways that you have protected and kept yourself safe as a little one. And you might even imagine that you can see that little four-year-old here and now. And if you can sense this four-year-old in some way, however your senses might be operating, you might feel a connection versus seeing. You might hear, potentially smell or taste something. Often those are the less tangible ones for folks, although those might be strong for you today. However you might have access to this little one, I invite you to offer them what it might be to give them the nourishment that they seem to be missing. In essence, teaching them how to resource by giving it to them, because little ones don't know this yet. They need to learn it from somebody. And if they didn't get it when they were little, if you didn't receive it from the people, the adults that were taking care of you, then we have the opportunity to reparent ourselves now. So you may offer touch in any way that feels supportive. You may offer a kind ear to hear what it is they have to say. I invite you to listen rather than going on in. Ask them what it is they want and let them invite you in. Again, extending choice to begin to repattern this. And as we offer them choice, that's often enough to break this spell of having to withstand chronic attack energy. And as we do this, running circulation of all the healing resources now through your immune system. The immune system is often the place that deals with attack energy, so this makes a lot of sense. It's our immune system that the thymus is a part of, and it's our immune system that deals with all things around acceptance and rejection. And as we go to the immune system, working with peeling out the consciousness of rejection. And what I mean by that is unwinding it through the wiring that's here around the different components of your immune system, which is not small. Primarily, we could think of the immune system as hanging out within the bones of your body, your spleen, along with the various different sites that all the immune system components are acting on and the impact that that has. And a big player, a big part of that is actually your spleen. Your spleen is heavily involved, as is your lymphatic system. But without going into too much detail on the immune system right now, imagine that we're doing it for all the components that are involved here. And as we work with this immune system, beginning to unwind the different layers, different experiences of rejection. In particular, it's those pieces of the day-to-day wearing down of what you knew to be true when you were small, and yet you gave up to fit in into our world, into our society, into conditioning mode. And the pain that that took to squash yourself down, to fit in, to survive. For it is a matter of life and death. If we're not accepted, we don't fit in, we may not belong. And that's where all this conditioning comes from. Without that fitting in, we become outcasts and our odds of survival are very low according to our reptilian brain nature. So with this, we actually need to balance all things immune system around rejection to the reptilian brain that developed years ago, in which this was very true, without the collective, without the groupings of people. It was a much deeper struggle to make it, and odds were high that you didn't come through. And as we begin to look at the pattern that's been holding that ancient way of being that was really relevant at one point in time, imagine that we can now speak to that four-year-old again, letting them know they did everything that they could, and they did their very best job that they knew how to do. Four-year-olds are very reptilian brain dominant, and they need to be. For all those years, we're learning through to the reptilian brain capacity to stay alive, and then we're layering on our limbic brain, our emotional capacity to work within those realms, to supportively allow for a little bit of wiggle room in that reptilian brain dominance. And over time, the cortical brain, as it's developing, begins to calm that all down, assuming that got to happen. And as we work with this theme, with this 4-year-old, letting them know again that they're safe here with you. And as they get to receive that sense of acceptance by you, it begins to unwind that need for the reptilian brain to be so dominant around the theme of rejection. And we begin to have the space, the wiggle room now, to unwind the need to replicate this feeling of being under attack even later on in life. The brain was set into motion at 4 to hypervigilantly watch this through all the senses. And now, at this age and stage of life, where this may no longer be needed, you maybe don't need to be so on guard. Maybe there's space to drop that away to a degree. We may actually open up to be able to receive things on the other side of that that weren't so available before. It might even be the things that you're looking for. And as we have this opportunity to let that guard drop down, even just a little bit lower now, letting this 4-year-old know again that they did everything that they could have at the time, and they did everything right. And now things get to be different because you have other tools, wisdom, and resources available. You're no longer 4. You're no longer 4. And as you let your 4-year-old know that, you can actually tell them your age, how old you really are now as an adult. And feel free to even show them around what life looks like for you now as an adult. And as you receive that information, as your 4-year-old also gets to drink it on in, notice that the 4-year-old is actually wanting a little change of scenery. Maybe they are ready to open up and share something for you first, with you first. And if they feel complete in all that they've shared with you, all that they've let you know, and they're looking for a change in scenery, they often are at this point, inviting them to locate a spot that they most want to be, and following their lead, they get to choose. And giving them the space to actually make a choice without feeling like that choice might be under attack again. And beginning to reset this pattern, allowing them to go wherever they most feel called to in this world. And if they feel comfy cozy there, letting them know thank you as you settle them in there. Perhaps the place that they most want to come is somewhere in your body. And they're allowed to do that too. It might not actually be another location that's out there. It might be somewhere that wants to be in here. And noticing that too. Sometimes they want to shift location out there before they are wanting to shift location in here. Just checking in and seeing what they want to do. And as you offer them that space to choose again, letting them know that they actually do have a free choice to make here without repercussion, without punishment, without attack, and that they'll still be accepted and loved no matter what they choose. And as we restore that for your 4-year-old, letting them know that again, thank you for all that they've shown you and all the work that they've been willing to do with you. And if it feels right and you're open to doing that, let them know that you'll check in on them later. And spending a little bit of time with them in this next few days may not be a bad idea to check in on them and just see how they're doing with things. Now we're linking this all now into house 12. In astrology, they think everything goes through those 12 phases, 12 houses. The 12th house is very much about endings, releasing, letting go. It's also the house of the liver, which releases old karmic, toxic patterns. And as we unwind this now, we're actually doing it through the actual cells of the liver, the hepatocytes. And it's intertwined down through to the centrioles. The centrioles are involved in cellular division, and they are often referred to as the blinds of consciousness. Imagine those Venetian blinds that you can open up to receive more light, or you can make a little dimmer to block out light. And as we work here, opening up the blinds of consciousness to be able to receive more light through to the hepatocytes, through the cells of the liver that are helping to literally break down this pattern, bite by bite, layer by layer. And as we do so, you might even think a loving thought or two towards that little one, in essence, demonstrating acceptance. It's a gift to be here with you. Thank you. It's an honor. I'm so glad you're here. You're such a blessing to have. And linking all that energy now through to the heart. And the heart's energy fields, which is 60 to 100 times stronger than any other energy field out there, not a small thing at all. And as we do that now, releasing the fear of being dismissed, the fear around being ignored, the fear around what do you know type of energy. It carries a consciousness of disrespect within it. And unwinding that now, again through the neck musculature, as we release the identity of you are a pain in the neck. And as we release that identity and all the belief systems that you've connected to that you've learned, we're also releasing the memories that go with it from, again, age 4. Around any time that your natural, healthy, childlike curiosity and imagination was criticized or disrespected for being a pain in somebody's neck, as adults are often too busy doing other adult things to remember the gift of childhood, of its innocent imagination, of its playfulness. And as we have the opportunity to now release this, also unwinding any underlying inherent neglect that went on with this. For some of you, it might be a small amount, for some of you, it might be quite a large amount. And I see that in the back of the neck and all the muscles, all the deep, deep muscles that attach onto the back of the skull that help us to actually orient. There's a few of them, they've got fancy long names. And as we release this patterning through the back of the neck musculature, running the permissions, you're allowed to be here, to take up space and to make noise. You're allowed to be here to take up space and to make noise. Which might be why the sound stuff came up so early on. And on that note, I'm going to actually invite you to make a little bit more sound in any way, shape, or form. And we're imagining it if it's not possible to make it that sound out loud right now. And as you do so, allowing that sound to take up space, to be loud, to be noticed. And as you do so, noticing that you're here, you're here. And that you're welcome here. This sound and all of you is truly welcome here, just as you are. And with that, releasing any underpinnings of shame that have said otherwise, that are intertwined through the right side of the pelvis and its musculature. Interesting. Okay, and there's a connection now in a reciprocal-like fashion between the left side of the neck and the right side of the pelvis. And this isn't one of the basic 17 reciprocals that we work with in body talk, it is. but this is one that I often do see a fair bit of. And then the right side of the neck to the left pelvis musculature. I traditionally tend to see the SCM muscle that turns your head side to side, helps you to shoulder check when you're driving. That muscle I often see linking through to the iliopsoas. For this particular reciprocal one, in all the musculature, neck through to pelvis. And I imagine we could do the reciprocals for each one of the little muscles. But imagine that we've included that and that it's being taken care of as we work with it in a more broad fashion. And then I see the image of a little one drawing, creating a picture. And the take-home theme of this is that your creativity gets to be safe again. It gets to be connected to again. It gets to be revitalized again. Then we're linking your sexual chakra, which in body talk is that second chakra, and connecting it through to your base chakra. In essence, letting your base chakra know you survived, you made it, and now you're here. You're ready to create, and you're ready to take charge of this experience of you. And our second chakra often carries programming information around, again, acceptance and rejection. And we actually need to unwind this theme of feeling again underneath the attack of chronic rejection on a day-to-day basis, in small ways or big ways. And with that, the essence of feeling unwanted, particularly, needs to release through the sexual chakra. And as we release the feeling of being unwanted, imagine that you can breathe into that pelvis, allowing any other musculature of tension to drop into the surface below you that you might be seated on or that you might be laying on. And just see how heavy the pelvis gets to be. And as we invite the pelvis to get really heavy, to drop away any tension that it's been holding, linking your entirety of your pelvis through to the earth below to remind your body of what it means to feel held in the mothering embrace by the planet of the earth, by Mother Earth. And as the earth receives you, also receiving your inherent creative gifts that you carry to whatever capacity those have developed. And to whatever capacity they may wish to further develop, and inviting the opportunity to allow for that development process now to continue to come alive through the lens of adult learning, adult growth, through the lens of there's other tools and wisdom and resources that you have available now to nurture this and to allow for this expression to be heard. To allow this expression of your creativity to take up space, and to allow for this pelvis and this sexual chakra of yours to be allowed, to be loud, to take up space, and to be present in a richer, deeper way than may have ever been before. As we do that, releasing the onslaught of information that we receive, in particular for those of us in the female form, of you don't look quite right, you need this, you're not acting quite right, you should do this. And all the different information that we also receive around having to maintain a certain like youthful thing, a youthful appearance, or a body image to a certain standard, which is idealized and likely impossible because it's all airbrushed, photoshopped, etc. And releasing that sense of a pressure to fit in through what it is we're told we should be as adults, in particular as we get older. And all that messaging that says you shouldn't get older. Here's the thing, tough to stay alive without getting older. That's part of how this world seems to work with the whole time space thing. Yeah, so as we invite our body to actually ignore some of that, giving you permission to reject what no longer serves. Now that you're on the other side of having worked through some of the rejection pieces that you've had to process internally, there may be more room to navigate what it is you're willing, tolerating, open to accepting, and what it is you want to say no to. And then giving yourself permission to do just that. As we run the permission statement, my no is welcome here. My no is welcome here. And as you give yourself permission to welcome your own no, as you step into that, not buying that, giving yourself permission as well to do things in a way that works right for you, regardless of anybody else that says anything about the same interests, the same topics, the same knowings that you carry within you. As we do that, linking it right back to the sexual chakra, which I now see as like pulsing and alive, vibrating. It's almost like it's got a new song to sing from the inside out again. And as that little light in there gets restored, as that pulsation of vitality begins to blossom, I invite you to breathe into that area below your navel, giving it full inhales and long, slow, deep exhales. As we now work with the energy field referred to as the Hara, the lower dantian that hangs out here. And this is the source of the vitality that rises up to the heart that helps to feed it. That helps to work with giving the heart what it needs to do all that the heart does with its very strong energy field, creating harmony, wisdom, knowing, healthy relationships inwardly, outwardly, etc. The list is long. Creativity, notwithstanding, pleasure, connection to our little ones, connection to our source, our sense of spirit, the sense of the knowing of I am, period, full sentence. Again, the list is long. And as we revitalize this pelvis, linking it now through to the heart, to supportively allow for the heart to feed, to receive that nourishment. And as we open up this space, the image that I see is really cute. I see the heart holding up a little shield. It's like a little bulletproof vest. And it's deflecting all the things, all the times that you've been told you're crazy, you're insane, you're neurotic, you're nuts, that have gotten in that way of you actually being able to listen to and honor your own sense of knowingness, to not have to bend an ear towards those messages of rejection, but instead opening up to what it means to be accepted, to celebrate acceptance. And then I see the heart raise in its arms in much a similar fashion. And there you've got like the victorious celebration. And as the arms go upwards, celebrating what it is to rise above all that old messaging. And much the way the lotus flower is said to rise from the muck and the mire to blossom beautifully above, linking this all the way through to the crown chakra, which is often in yoga culture thought to be that of the thousand-petaled lotus flower, blossoming and opening. And noticing what it's open to receiving now that wasn't so available before. Perhaps it's the way in which it's receiving it now that wasn't so available before. And then I simply hear the words, I honor my heart. I honor my heart. Giving that a slow, deep breath as we tap this part in here. And let's have that part out. I see the little heart shield that I was carrying drop it, going like, oh, I don't even need that anymore. What if the holding up of the shield was taking more energy than there was needed? As it's ready to drop its guard in that way. Also releasing the need to be bulletproof, which allows for the capacity to feel, and in a way, allow for those feelings to be welcome without the fear that if I have to feel all of this, I'll tank. If I have to process what everybody else thinks of me in the form of what I make up about that, of rejection, then that might do me in. And as we unwind that, or as we have unwound, I should say, a lot of those layers, the need to defend against that fear of rejection itself drops away. And the heart becomes even more strong, even more powerful in its natural habitat of vulnerability. And as it taps into this space, there's a particular softness or grace that comes. And it also allows for a deeper, richer connection through to source itself, whatever your word for source itself is, God, universe, divinity. And however the word is for you, as we touch on that which is eternal in nature, allowing for the center of your heart and what it knows to be true about that connection to the essence of spirit, to the essence of creating. What is it to begin to co-create with that energy in a harmonious way? And as I name that, releasing anything else that says, I can't do that, I'm not allowed. And what if you actually didn't need permission anymore? As we release the I can't do that, I'm not allowed, it comes off of the jaw, the lower jaw into the actual jaw joint itself. And this lower jaw is where we often get a little bit of a roadblock between the part of the heart meridian that's meant to rise up through to the face, which allows the capacity for our entire system to remember that we actually do have what it takes to face what's coming. And we do have what it takes to face forward. We do have what it takes to face life. And we actually have the resources here within us. As we begin to supportively now work into this jaw region, releasing any need to control it by again that means of fear, which has been there out of a need to protect. So it hasn't done anything wrong. We're not here to shame that. That just makes one more layer of things we need to unshame and unhook and unwind. Yeah, letting this jaw know, thank you for all the ways that you've kept me safe. And as we unwind that, also releasing those times in which you were actually told, in which you learned, and the sentence, shut your pie hole, keeps running through my mouth, and all the other conditionings that go with that, that said, be quiet, zip your lip. That's not okay to say. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say something unless you have something good to say. Children should be seen and not heard. And all that other programming that got locked into the jaw, looking at any unresolved times in which you really wanted to say something but knew you couldn't, otherwise it was going to be all bad when you were a little one. And as we begin just to gently release some of those layers in that are in here, letting this jaw know again and again and again that it did the right thing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you for all that you have supported this system with. And as we work with that essence of control that it took to follow what you were told to follow in order to make it through. On the other side of the work that we've done today, releasing any layers of that are ready to go with it. All the way through to now allowing this heart energy field to rise effortlessly through to the tongue and then through to the face itself. And I just hear the system from heart to head go, oh, I see beauty here. Yeah, on the other side of all those words that were shared with you when you were little, there has actually been beauty here underneath it all. And then there's thought of that fear, there gets to be easefulness again. And as we restore this connection to being able to perceive your beautiful world again, to perceive beauty itself again. Perhaps even directing that gaze and understanding that inner knowing of what it means to be in connection with that which is eternal, as well as the outward gaze, connecting it to all the seeming beauty in your world that's been created for you, by you, with you, co-created perhaps. And linking this all into house six, which is the house of practical action. What if it was actually a practical thing to drink in the beauty of your world? What if it was actually a productive thing? And then linking in the beauty of this world and all the five, six senses down through to the uterus and the sexual chakra, the uterus being our center for productivity, and the sexual chakra noticing again and again what it is to be accepted and to be accepting of your surroundings, your world. The beauty that you get to be a part of, that you get to continue to create within. And tapping this out here, invitation to breathe, to receive. And if at any point in time it feels right, you can bring in that resource from earlier. Whatever your gaze landed on, breathing that in and through, if it feels right. As we bring today in for a nice soft landing, I've got a 3-minute song. It's called The Exile of Eros. It's by a name that I'm going to not pronounce very well. Vasilikai Anastasio. And it's from the album The Amalgamation Project. Invitation to breathe and receive as you drink this energy in.
Anostuki Vramanaman
Anostuki Kutavuna
Anostuki Kutavuna
Pefti omni kli chamila
Yeah. ψυχά, η όμορφη κόρασα. Να δει το νιο γράμμα, να δει το νιο γράμμα, να δει το νιο γράμμα. Να δει το νιο που καρτερεί, να δει το νιο που καρτερεί. Κι απ' το φεύγιο της κι αδεζή, κι απ' την πηγή γράμμα να μάν, κι απ' την πηγή πιούν ξανά, κι απ' την πηγή να πιούν ξανά, να ανθίσουν πάλι τα βουνά.
Thank you for calling this medicine in. Blessings in the rest of your day ahead. Mwah. Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Peace, peace, peace. You're most welcome. Yeah, you're most welcome. Bye for now, loves. If you need any additional support, feel free to hang out one-on-one. I have a few minutes before I dash off to my presentations.